Okay.
It's Shammai, no? He says just a...
Zayin amud beis. Zayin amud beis. Everybody have a sheet? There should be enough for everybody.
Yeah. It's just two pages, right?
Yeah.
One
page is double
sided.
Yeah, one Gemara. They're both double sided. Zayin amud beis in Ksubis. Ksubis is a fantastic masechta. It's one of the ones they call it, well, I think it's the only one they call it Shas Katan. It has basically everything. It's long. it's 114 pages. So there's plenty of room. But it has all the sugyas from Shas in it. It has sugyas in Nashim, it has sugyas of Nazikin, it has sugyas of Shabbos. It has everything. If you want to get a microcosm of all of Shas, so Ksubis is where you go. But we're over here on a nice little sugya about weddings. I vacillated a little bit between this one and the Kalona of a Chasuda sugya, which is also in Ksubis, but I decided on this one. So we're basically at the first two lines of the page, where it says Gufa. We're talking about the concept of Birchas Chasanim, which is the brachas that we make at a wedding. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says Gufa. This is going off of something that's already been mentioned. Amar of Nachman, Amar Lihuna Bar Nasan Tana, Minayin LeBirchas Chasanim Ba'asara. How do you know that for Birchas Chasanim, right, for all of those, it's basically Shavar Brachos, that you need 10 people when you make the brachos. Shneemar, one option is, Vayikach asara anashim bezikneh ha'ir, vayomer shvupo. Okay, the pasuk says explicitly, take 10 people and sit here. Now, all we need to know is,
why
this has anything to do with it, what is this pasuk talking about? Exactly, it's a pasuk from Megillat Rut. Take a guess whose mouth these words come from.
Boaz,
exactly. It comes from Boaz because he's convening basically for he's preparing for his wedding, so it's a pretty good conclusion to draw that you need 10 people. He says asara nashim. Rabbi Abahu disagrees. Rabbi Abahu says he has a different source, a little bit more obscure. Amar mihacha b'makelot baruchu Elohim Hashem mimkor Yisrael. This is a pasuk from Tehillim, and basically it says that from makelot, from the kehilot, from milashim kehilah, we bless Hashem mimkor Yisrael, from the source of Yisrael. Kind of obscure pasuk, but the drasha would be, anybody want to take a stab at what the drasha would be, how you get from this pasuk to 10 people?
Because you can't do baruch without 10. You have to have 10.
No, I think you can make brachos without 10. It's got to be from some of the words. So you look at Rashi in the third line. Makelot baruchu Elokim Hashem b'mekor Yisrael al berkas makor tzarich kahal. You need a kahal. B'makelot milashon kahal, and a kahal we know is 10. V'hainu asara kamo hakelat ha'eda. Where's that from? This is the most counterintuitive drasha, probably, in Shas. How do you know that you need 10 people for Dvarim Shebe Kedusha?
From here.
Right, which is?
This is with the Mishkan, before the Mishkan.
No.
Was it the Miraculous?
Close. Hakel Ata'eda is, as far as I remember, Korach. Adas Korach, right? We learn the fact that you need 10 people for a minion from Korach. Go figure out why. Ve'inakal pachod mi'aida, ve'ida asara kedi alfinu mi'adat meraglim. That's from a different place. Ad matay la'ida hara'a yat'u yashu'ashov kalev. So you're right, there is meraglim in there as well. Why we need to learn the principle of 10 people for a minion from Korach and from meraglim is, I guess, a question for another time, which I don't know the answer to. So we'd have to figure it out. But either way, makelot, kahal, teaches you that you need 10 people for some kind of bracha. So the Gemara wants to figure out, well, what's Rav Nachman and Rabbi Abo, what are they arguing about? Rav Nachman, b'haikra de Rabbi Abo, my darishbe, what does Rav Nachman do with the makelot bracha, or with the makelot pasuk? Mibay leilech detanya, ha Rabbi Meir omer, minayin shafilu ubarim shebemeyai iman amru shira al hayam. Shenemar makelot b'rachu alokim Hashem b'mkor Yisrael. He needed it for Homiletic tradition. Rabbi Meir claims that even that who, you know, we sang at Shirat Yam Suf, right? At Yam Suf we all sang. So Rabbi Meir says, not only did all the people sing, not only did all the men and the women and the children sing, the fetuses sang. The fetuses in the wombs of the mothers. Exactly. They sang.
Why would anyone need a pasuk to teach that?
Rabbi Meir, this is the pasuk that he used to come up with that drasha, with that homily, that midrash. Exactly. So v'idach, and what about Rabbi Abo? What's he going to do with Rav Nachman's vayikach asar anashim from Boaz? V'idach im kein lemakra sorry. What does Rabbi Abo say about Rabbi Meir? In other words, he has to show why Rabbi Meir's drasha is not going to come from this pasuk, because he says, "Im kein lemakrat mi beten." Am I mi makor? It should have said mi beten b'makelot, right? B'makelot baruch Elokim Hashem mi beten Yisrael, which would have been from the stomach, from the womb of Yisrael, and not from the source of Yisrael. Okay, al iskei makor. Fine. So that's what the response would be from the iskei makor, which is a euphemism for the womb. But okay. Rabbi Abo, b'hai kradu Rav Nachman Maidarish Bay, what does Rabbi Abo do about the Boaz Pasuk? How mi baile le midrash amoni velo amonit, moavi velo moavit, disaka daitach lebracha losagia de lav zakenim. This story where Boaz is convening 10, that's not for his wedding, at least not directly. What is it for? He needs to convene 10 people in order to promulgate a new law. What's the new law? Amoniva Amonit Moavi Moavit Moavia. Right? How is he allowed to marry Ruth? She's a Moavia. You're not allowed to marry Moavi.
Did we first have to convene for the other relative to reject her?
Yeah, I think this is after. I presume. So he convened these 10 people to promulgate this new halakha that whereas a woman is not allowed to marry a Moavi, a man is allowed to marry a Moavia. That was a new. It wasn't new, but it was not yet decided yet that should be the halacha. V'idach, what is Rav Nachman going to respond? Isal gadai tach lemidrash lo sagi delav asara. Why does he need 10 people in the pursuit milta? To make sure everybody knows. Ukdam le Shmuel or Rav Chana b'Bagdata puk va'iti le bay asara ve'emelacha ba'an payu hamazaka le'ubar kana. Because we know we have a story where Shmuel, right, the Amora, convened 10 people in order to declare his own new halacha. That if you're mezakeh for an ubar, that you can actually be mezakeh something for an ubar. Okay, Shmuel's new halacha. Vilchata mezakeh l'ubar lo kana. Of course, it turns out that Shmuel is wrong, that you can't be mezakeh for an ubar, but okay, neither here nor there. Anyways, that's teaching you about the 10 people for the Birchas Chasanim. Now let's go a little bit further. Tanu Rabbanan. Mevarchin Birkas Chasanim Bebeis Chasanim. Where do we do Birkas Chasanim? Where else? Bebeis Chasanim. In the place of the Chasan. At the Chuppah, exactly. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Beit HaErusin Mevarchin Ota. You can even do it Bebeit HaErusin. Now, Amar Abaye is going to explain, why does Rabbi Yehuda think that you can make Birkas HaNisuin, basically, Birkas Chasanim, in the Beit HaErusin. Beit HaErusin is a euphemism here for the wife's father's house. So why are you allowed to do it in the wife's father's house? According to Rabbi Yehuda, so Abaye says, Ubi Yehuda shanu mivnei shemit yached ima. Rav Yehuda was talking about the place of Yehuda, right? There was the place of Yehuda, and there was, what was the other? Galil. Yehuda and Galil, where they had different minhagim, and it happened to be that in Yehuda, they had yichud, they did chuppah basically, during the process of Erusin, even before Nisuin. All right? In the olden times, right, during the times of the Gemara and the Mishnah, it wasn't like now. Nowadays, we have a one-stop shop at weddings. We have Kiddushin / Erusin, which is identical, and Nisuin at all under the same roof, pun intended, right? Basically, all at the same time. Really, Kiddushin and Nisuin are completely separate processes, and they were historically separate processes, like chronologically. In other words, you would have Kiddushin, Erusin, on day one. 12 months later, you would have Nisuin. There would be this 12-month, basically, engagement period between husband and wife, or chasen and kala. Right? You were a chasen for 12 months, and then you only did nisuin all the way at the end of the 12 months. Why? They were preparing for the wedding. It was a whole to-do. In other words, now you can pay a caterer, and there's refrigerators, and there's all these things. It used to be that you really had to prepare for the wedding. You had to arrange for people to come, and you had to arrange for the food. It was very expensive. Food had to be prepared in the proper way. You had to have a venue. It was more complicated. Exactly. Even worse. The reason why it stopped was because the time period was too long, and disasters, aside from breakups, would happen. That would basically mean that this woman would be engaged to this man, and there was no way for them to get together. In other words, you know, let's say a war happens in his town and not in her town, and he can't leave, right? And then basically she's an aguna to nobody's fault. So eventually it got closer and closer until we have what we have nowadays, which is basically no time in between. They're all on the same day. But the point is, though, if you look at Rashi over here, that in Yehuda, they had Yichud in between Kiddushin and Nisuin. Rashi says, Be'irusin, Kedeshi Yehei Libos Gasba. It sounds, you know, a little bit foreign to us, but basically, they would have a, you know, basically after Kiddushin, you're allowed to be with the girl, you know, as long as she's not a Nida. So in Yehuda, they actually would have Yichud. You know, we have an Isser of having Yichud with a Pnuya. So this would get rid of that, in Yehuda at least. First they would make the brachot. First they would have Kiddushin, Erusin. Then, if you finish Rashi, he says, Lefichach mevarchen birchas chasanim mitchila detanya b'maseches kala, kala b'lo bracha asur labala kanida. That you cannot be with a kala until you make these birchas erusin. There was a birchas amat here. Birchas chasanim, I'm sorry. So what they would do in Yehuda is they would make these birchas chasanim in the house of the erusin because they would be having yichud there. So they have to make the bracha before the yichud.
Did they have kiddushin? Or they just
they had kiddushin. Kiddushin is erusin. Kiddushin is erusin. No. Kiddushin is erusin. Nisuin is the second thing. Right. Make some seder. Kiddushin, erusin equals. There's no difference. Two words for the same thing. Nisuin is is the wedding. Okay? Kiddushin and erusin is, for all intents and purposes, a little bit more than betrothal, is engagement. Okay? Like we have betrothal, which is like the Tanayim, right? That's the closest, you know, even the Tanayim is at the wedding. It used to be, you know, everything was different. So in Yehuda, they had the Kiddushin, Erusin, then they made the Bracha, then they would have Yichud. The Nisuin would happen 12 months later.
What would be the Nisuin? The Nisuin is what? The Birchot Nisuin? So what's the Birchot Chatanim? It's the Sheva Brachos.
Birchot Chatanim is the Sheva Brachos, which happens, it's all out of order.
So they would do Kiddushin, Erusin, Birchot Chatanim, which is Sheva Brachos, Yichud.
Yes.
And a year later they would do the
Nisuin. Nisuin with the, yeah, yeah.
The Lushin of the Pasuk.
And then she would go and live with him.
She wouldn't be able, hold on, but she's
she would be in home. She would be in her home. She was in Beit HaErusin. She would stay home with her father for a year. So? That was just Shehei Libo Gaspa, to make sure that...
Why wait a year to make the Bracha? Because they didn't have...
No, it's more than that. Make a year for them until they were married, till the Nisuin. The Nisuin.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Why wait a year to make the Bracha?
I told you, they had a whole... They're organized. Yeah, they're organized, yeah. That was the Minog.
Wedding planner.
That was the Minog. But that was only in Yehuda. In most places, they did not do this. They had Kiddushin, and then they left each other. Yeah, I think so.
Maybe because it was
so Abaye says that's why Rabbi Yehuda says Bebesa Erusin. But if you're not in Yehuda, then you don't have that. Okay, Tani Idach, another brisa. Mevarchan birchas chasanim bebes chasanim ubirchas erusin bebes erusin. Let's make some seder. This is not the way it goes. Birchat chatanim is for the beit chatanim. That's normal. Birchat erusin is for the beit erusin. That's normal. Birchat erusin my mevarich. What is this birchat erusin? What is that talking about? Ravin baravada, Rabba baravada, Travayu mishmeidu Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, tishkach everything I just said, everything I said about Yehuda, because that's not our minhag, it's not the mainstream minhag. And when I say our minhag, I mean even nowadays we don't do it that way. So what do we do? Here is the birkat erusin. Baruch atah Hashem l'kinu ma'acholam, asher gedushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu, Al arayos ve'aser lanu es arusos ve'hiter lanu es nesuos al yidei chupa v'kiddushin. This is more or less what we say. There are some extra words in there. This is birchat erusin. This is the first bracha that gets made during our weddings.
This is kiddushin in it.
Erusin is kiddushin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nisuin is not right. Okay.
Again, I'll read it. Aser lanu et ha'arusot. All right, arusot means mikudashot, and here aser it means for everybody else, everybody who's not the chasan. V'heter lanu et ha'nisuot, aydei chupa v'kiddushin. Okay, Rav Acha bre de Rava mesayim ba mishmei de Rav Yehuda baruchat Hashem mekadesh Yisrael aydei chupa v'kiddushin. They added on a siomet, a chasima to the bracha. What was the machloket? It sounds like there's a machloket about whether or not there should be an ending to the bracha. Man dechatem midi dehava berachat perot berachat mitzvot. Man dechatem midi dehava kiddusha. Okay, they argue about what it's more similar to. Is it more similar to making a bracha on perot or making a bracha on a mitzvah? In which case, you don't have a chatima, right? When we make a bracha on perot, right, you just make the bracha and that's it. There's no first half, second half. Same thing for mitzvot. When you make a bracha on a lulav, it's just straight. Al nitzilat lulav, done. But kiddush is not like that. Right? Kiddush is this long thing with a bracha at the beginning and a bracha at the end, and you end with Makadesh HaShabbat.
That's right? Because it's on wine, or that's because it's on Mashu Chashuv on Shabbos?
That's because that's the mivneh of kiddush. So they want to know which one is it more similar to. Because there is wine over here, by the way,
right,
at the wedding.
Maybe.
Okay, so that's it for Birchas Eirusin. Now let's get to back to Birchas Chasanim. Tanu Rabbanan, Mevarach in Birchas Chasanim ba'asara kol shiva. We make Birchas Chasanim only in the midst of 10 people for 7 days. This is what we all know and love as Shavuot Brachos. Amar Rav Yehuda v'hu shaba u'panim chadashos. Ah. The 7 days, you only do that if you have what's called
Panim
Chadashos.
Somebody wasn't
at
the wedding.
Right, we'll have to figure out what that is. Mai Mevarich, what do we say? Amar Rav Yehuda, Baruch Hashem, hold on, let's give these out. All right, why don't you start us off? The first bracha, L'chubad.
It's not here.
Yeah, it is.
It's not.
Oh, you're saying because it's not the first bracha. Because the first bracha is Borei Pirei Gefen. You're right. First is Borei Pirei Gefen. Good, and then what's the second? Yeah. Jago. Yeah. Good. All right, David, go ahead. Give us the next one.
It's the long one. No. Before that.
Yotzer Adam. And then the next one is new. You guys, I don't know when you're going to get it at a wedding, so you might as well get it in now. You've had it at a wedding? I had once also. What? I had one once. You had one also? You had a Shavuot Bracha?
For me?
Well, you're having Shavuot Brachos, but no, you've said a Shavuot Bracha?
A few times.
Oh, a few times, wow. Okay.
I've done it once.
I've done it only once as well. I don't buy that for a second, come on.
What's first today?
Maybe three times.
Let's go, keep it going. Hello?
That's your job.
We're up to Asher Yatzar.
Come on. Coming to my favorite.
I think Salmon should sing
a He's going to do the last one, yeah. Yeah. Alright, just do the rest. Just do the rest. Sostasis, yeah.
Sostasis, and then you've got Samach to Samach, and then you've got the big one.
Here, it's Sostasis v'tekel ha'akara b'kibbutz panel l'tocha b'simcha baruch ata Hashem b'samach tzion b'baneh.
It's interesting the way they write re'im. It's different.
Why? Because it's yud?
It says re'im.
Re'im.
There's no yud normally.
They read it like my son.
Not the kala, the chalo.
Never heard of that.
That's the next chuppah. It's Chanukah. Kala, kol mitzalot chatanim michupatam, neorem imishtein ginatam, rachad Hashem, esameh chatan im ha...
Kala, very good. Okay. Very good. Just a word, actually. I just recently heard this. I thought it was a beautiful word. about this with the Reyim Ahuvim. So Rav Shachter, who's going to be here on Friday, by the way, Rav Shachter is speaking at Ol Ari. I'm probably not going to be there, unfortunately, Litzari, because there's an Avot Ubanim in my son's school, so I'm going to go there, which is really Litzari. I encourage everybody who can go to go. He's a great Gadol B'Torah, and whatever, he doesn't need my Haskama. But I heard in his name recently that it's interesting that it says Reim Ahuvim. Reim Ahuvim. Oh, here it's Reim Ahuvim, which I'm getting. Are you sure? Reim, I think it's Reim Ahuvim in our. Are you sure it's Reim Ahuvim? Okay, so then the word doesn't really make any sense. That's why I thought it's Reim Ahuvim. Okay, well, I'll say it anyways. I actually thought it was Reim Ahuvim, but if it is, you can decide if it makes sense if it's Reim Ha'ahuvim. Rav Shachter pointed out that, you know, we have a mitzvah of ona in marriage. Mitzvah of ona is usually understood as being physical intimacy with between the husband and wife. It's an obligation on the husband, but it's only an obligation for half the time because part of the time she's nida, and then part of the time you don't actually have to. So Rav Shachter said that this line actually is meant to address that, because there's two obligations that a husband has, which is to be first a reya and only then an ahuv. Ahuvim is lovers. That's the physical aspect of it, and reyim, right? And reyim is friendship. In other words, the ona is not just about the physical aspect of the relationship, but it refers to both to being ahuvim and also to being Reim. That's why both relationships are being addressed over here. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The wrong key.
You know,
that was
enough.
Instead of G, should have been in G.
All right. So the Gemara continues. It says Levi, a story. Levi ikla be Rabbi behilulei de Rabbi Shimon berei.
Ask a question.
Yeah.
Do you know first of all why they don't mention here Baruch Berei Goffin?
Because it's not exactly part of the Birkas.
It's definitely one of the Sheva Brachos.
Yeah, because we've only read six.
It's one of the Sheva Brachos, you're right, but it's not.
We've just read
the Gemara
six.
Didn't call it Sheva Brachos.
It's the 7 days.
Ah, Birkat Chatanim, okay. The second question.
Just like Kiddush on Shabbos, right, it's not the Geffen, it's the Mekadesh Shabbat.
Do you know why the first two Brachos have to be said by the same person?
You're going
to
tell us.
I don't know.
Oh, that's why. Because the. The first person, okay, is not going to drink the wine. Who's going to drink the wine?
The
chassan. The chassan, right? So this is a problem. Anybody who's learned the end of Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, right? What does the end of Gemara Rosh Hashanah say? There's a principle of afal pisha yatza motzi, right? In general, when it comes to mitzvos, even if I already fulfilled my mitzvah, I can say a bracha for you to fulfill your mitzvah, right? So, for instance, lulav. I can make 100 brachos on lulav. For every single person that comes by who can't make a bracha, I can make the bracha for him. Likewise, kiddush, right? I can make 100 kiddushes.
Mm-hmm.
My wife comes in, she didn't make kiddush yet, I did, I can make a bracha for her. My daughter comes in, my son comes in, you come in, I can make as many as I want, mm-hmm. as long as you haven't made it. However, if you want to eat a chip, and you're not in the mood to make a bracha rishona, so you ask me the bracha to make the bracha rishona for you. But first of all, maybe I already had a chip, I already made my bracha. Or, I'm not hungry. Can I make the bracha of Borei Pri Hadama for you? So the answer is, the Gemara says, no. I can only make, if I'm going to eat the chip, then I can make the bracha for you, and you can be yotzi that way. But if I've already made a bracha, or if I don't want to eat, so then I can't. This Borei Pri HaGefen that the first person is making, right? That the first bracha, he's going to make a Borei Pri HaGefen, right? But he's not going to drink. So you fall into a problem here. The solution to the problem is to somehow turn the Birkas HaNehenin, the Baruch HaGafen, into a Birkas HaMitzvah. And the only way we have of doing that is basically to combine the first and the second brachos, take the Baruch HaGafen and attach it to the next, to the first of the Shever brachos.
Well,
and that way we kind of make it similar to Kiddush. You know, it's like in Kiddush where you take the Hagefen, which is, Kiddush is just like that. You take a Hagefen, which is Berchas HaNe'anin, and you attach it to Kiddush, right? That's why you can keep making it over and over. Normally, if you just ask me to make a Brei Pri HaGafen for you right now, I can't do that. But if it's a Chefta Shel Kiddush,
so then I can. How about the person who makes the first bracha drinks of the wine at the end?
That would be fine. Then he wouldn't have to do the second. Yeah, maybe a Hefsek, yeah. It's important, by the way, for the Chassan and the Kala to not speak. I know I was at... I wasn't there. I heard about it afterwards. I heard about this afterwards.
For the whole year.
What?
For the whole year.
Yeah. I heard about this. I heard about this only secondhand. That at Rav Sa- whatever, at one of Rosh Yeshiva's, at one of the YU Rosh Yeshiva's weddings, so he got married late, late in life. He was already a Rosh Yeshiva for a few years, and Rav Shechter was his rabbi, so he was in the Masada Kedushin, and he was under the chuppah, and one of the, you know, one of the other Rosh Yeshiva got up to make one of the Shavar Brachas. He made the Shavar Bracha, and the Chassan said, Shkoyach, and Rav Shechter goes, shh. He's not supposed to speak. He's not supposed to talk because it's his bracha, so it's a...
It's like melach, knife.
It's not Be'inyan to say Shkoyach. So he shouldn't be a hefsek for him because the brachas are for him. Okay, Viter. Kiad Rav Yehuda Ramik, sorry, Levi. Yeah. Levi goes to Rabbi, to Rabbi Behulei, to Rabbi Shimon Berei, Barich Chamish. He went to a wedding and he only made five brachos. What should be clarified over here is that it used to be, and I don't mean like used to be like 1,000 years ago. I mean until about 50 years ago, that one person would make all sheva brachos. One person would say everything. Nowadays we've split it up.
Hmm.
It used to be in Europe that one person would make all the brachos.
Still have some parties. Some places.
Could be that some places still do. It's not surprising. No.
Most weddings I do, the...
Broken up.
I do all of them.
Really? Okay.
They give seven people.
So here's the problem. So Levi only made five, though. What this means is six, really, as we know, because also the Hagefen. So he made only five of the six that we read. Brichamish, Ravasi Ikla Be Ravashi Behuli Demar Bere Baruch Shis. But Ravashi made six, which makes sense because our Gemara has six. So what's going on? Lema b'hakam iflegidi mar savar chad yitzir have, omar savar shte yitziras have. What is this talking about? What does that mean?
Yitzira is a creation of some kind.
Well, go look at the brachos, right? The second bracha was
Yotzer
Adam, and the third was
Yotzer
Ata Adam b'tzalmo, right? So one opinion was that, what are you talking about? There's only one yitzira. There's only one yitzira, and the other opinion says that there were two yitziras, right? We have two yitziras. Now, what does that really mean? So Rashi, is it Rashi?
There's a big Tosfos on
this. Rashi, there's a big Tosfos on this, but Rashi, Shtei Yitziras, Kamandanar, Zanav Haya. What Shtei Yitziras means is not, doesn't mean that there were two creations, it means that man and woman were created together. Separately. Well, Shtei Yitziras.
Once together, once separately. Once the woman had its head, it says here in Rashi.
Yeah. No, Shtei Yetziras means that they were created as two separate beings. And Chad Yetzira means that they were created as one being with two faces, back to front or next to each other, whatever it was. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true. The Kuli Alma Chad Yetzira Havi, really they were all created, they were both created as one. Mar Savar Batar Machshav Azlinen, Umar Savar Batar Maisva Azlinen. What does that mean? Well, we know that ultimately, right? Ultimately, they were created. How? Right. So Rashi says, "Bater machshava azlinan, sheshnayim alu b'machshava ulihibaros v'nivra echad be'iruvin." Sorry, be'iruvin perach osin pasin. That really, the original plan was to create them
together.
No, separately. Then, how it was actually done was they were created as one, and only afterwards they were separated. When I say created, I mean they were actually, you know, there was one being at the beginning, and then afterwards they were separated, okay? However it happened. So one of them says, well, we go after Machshava, which means two Yitziros, and the other one says we go after Maisa, how it was actually happened, which is only as one, okay?
So the brothers said five, obviously.
What?
The Rav that said five.
He said Chad Yitzira Havi. Right, we go Basar Maisa. So then the Gemara says that. But hold on a second. Ki had Rav Yehuda Rami ksiv, vayivra Elokim et ha'adam b'tzalmo, uksiv zachar nikiv Abraham. Right? In one pasuk it says that he made man and woman, and then in the other it says he made them as one. Haketzad. B'tchila ala b'machshav li barosh shnayim, ulevasof nivra achad. Right? At the beginning, the plan was to create them as two. And then in the end, he created as one. And then he separated them. An amazing thing, right? Now, what question would you ask? Well, eventually, what actually happened?
They were separated.
They were created as two. They eventually became two, right? So if the plan was two, and then what actually happened was one, but then eventually they became two, so then, I mean, what? It's circular. Why not just say, or you might ask the question on God, which is, if the plan was two, and the ultimate result was two, why were they ever created as one?
So they'd appreciate being two.
So they'd appreciate being two? Okay.
God actually wrote Lot of Sodom and Avada. He created them together and then separated them, right? He thought about two, he created one, and he saw it wasn't good.
Right. So what I heard was that man and woman are so different that if they had been created as two, they would never have come together. Really, they're so different. So he had to create them as one so that there was at least some sense that they had, you know, been unified. So that now, eventually, he wanted them to be separate, but together, right? It's similar to what the Rav says about the Gemara Nida, that when a fetus is in the womb of his mother, that he learns Kol Tor Kula with the angel, right? And then right before he gets born, the angel gives him a clap in the face and he forgets everything and then he comes out. So the question is, why did he learn everything to begin with if he's going to forget it all? So Rabbi Soloveitchik says that the idea was that when he learns, it shouldn't be learning something new. It should be more like memory, like he's remembering something he had already learned because it had been ingrained in him in the womb. Even if he doesn't remember any of it right now, even if he doesn't have access to it, when he learns it, he has a sense that it had been a part of him once. So when a man and woman get together, they feel as though they had been together at some point, even though they're so different. They never would come together otherwise. And that's what Pshat is here. Could be.
Anybody ever feel that?
What? That they're one?
No, that that you were once together. I mean, there's a feeling of togetherness. You can learn Torah and feel like you once learned the Torah. And then, no, maybe we shouldn't share this.
tell us what else you feel, Simon.
No, seriously. You ever learned Torah and you learned something, you're like, you feel connected like you were once connected to that?
I think I got stepped a little too hard. That was very effective.
Maybe you're connected to someone else. There's only one Torah, but there are lots of.
No, sometimes couples look like.
They're so alike that they're like a sibling.
Don't know.
No?
Kadosh Baruch Hu is Avig Zivugim. I don't know.
I've seen a few couples.
Don't know. Now, okay, let's go a little deeper. Yeah?
That was pretty deep.
One quick question we just asked, why the need for somebody who wasn't at the wedding?
Excellent. Okay, so hold off on that. I want to do one sugya before we get to the Panim Chadashos. We're going to do basically two sugyas tonight.
Just a question.
Yeah.
The opinion of Yehuda was that you only did five of them. Which of the Yotzer did you do? Did you do Asher Yassar or Yotzer? Or there was some kind of combination? Or
is it the same? Good question. I don't know. Oh, Rashi tells us. Asher Yotzer. That's the answer. Rashi says, B'richameh shakol v'asher yatzar v'sos tasis sameach tasameach asher bara. So yeah. Asher Yatzar. Which is the second one. Okay. We're going to do two sugyas. One is Birkat Erusin, and one is Birkat Chatanim, which is the Shavar Brachos. Okay? Birkat Erusin, we're going pretty off the daf, but really it's a very, very important sugya, and it's an extremely important rush that you have to know. Okay? I actually spoke about this rush at my wedding. At the Chassan's Tish. Okay, take a look at this rush. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvasav v'tivanu al ha'arayos v'asar lanu es arusas v'hitu lanu es anesuas al-yidei chupa v'kiddushin baruch mekadesh Yisrael. V'nago ha'idna mekadesh Yisrael al-yidei chupa v'kiddushin. We say, mekadesh Yisrael al-yidei chupa v'kiddushin. Okay? So the rush says, yesh makshin al nusach bracha zu. Don't you guys have any questions about this bracha? You ever wonder anything about this bracha? That we make? What's strange about it?
Forbids us to take out a whole sword. And it allows us, but it allows us a married one.
What?
General.
It's general. Okay. What else?
The latter part of it's...
let me ask it this way. Can you name any bracha that is similar to it? What bracha is this like?
Saying
the
Kadesh Israel would be like a blessing of a day.
Let's leave the end part of the first part of the bracha, let's say. I can't think of any, right? I can't think of any brachas that are like it. So the Rosh has a few problems with it. First of all, what kind of bracha is this? It's talking about the wedding, right? It's talking about the Kiddushin. Say, Lekadesh et Ha'isha. Like, al natil alulav, al kiddushay isha. Why isn't that the bracha? Ve'od, hechen matinu bracha kazot, shemavarchen al masha asar lanu akadosh baruch hu. V'halo, einanu mavarchen sheasar lanu ever min achai, v'hitur lanu et ha-shachut. Right? You could say, when you're doing shechita, hit asar lanu et ha-nevelot, v'et ha-trefot, v'et ha-ever min achai, v'hitur lanu et ha-shachut. V'od, ma'inin lahaskir arayot b'kan. Why are we talking about this? Why are we talking about arayos? What's going on over here? What is this? Ve'od malanu lahaskir chupa bekan kevan shemavarchen birkat erusin bebeit erusin below chupa in our chupas and kol shekain in our weddings and kol shekain back then the chupa wasn't happening for a year and for us at least the chupa is another part of the wedding. You make the bracha on the chupa when you get to the chupa. Why are we mentioning chupa v'kiddushin? Just say kiddushin. Ve'nirli. All right. So you have a few questions. Nirli ki brachazu eina bracha. L'asiyat ha-mitzvah. The Rosh says it's not a birchat ha-mitzvah. Ki? Look at the reason why it's not a birchat ha-mitzvah. I'll read you what he says and you'll tell me why it can't be a birchat ha-mitzvah. Ki piriya v'rivya haynu kiyum ha-mitzvah. V'im lakach pilegesh v'kiyem piriya v'rivya. Eina mechuyav l'kadesh isha. V'chein ha-noseh z'kena aylonit o akara v'chein saris chama shenasa mevarchen birchat Chatanim. Ve'ein chayuv b'mitzvazu she'ein b'kiyum mitzvot periya v'rivya ve'elkach lo nitkana bracha mitzvazu. Why is it not a brachat ha-mitzvah?
Well, because if you'd already fulfilled for a before, you wouldn't have to make it again.
Well, he doesn't say that. But you're close. He's saying, first of all, you don't have to be married to make babies, right? We're all adults here. You don't have to be married to make babies. If the mitzvah is to make babies, yeah, you don't have to be married for that. You can take a pilegesh. You have lots of options. Second of all, what about all the marriages which are not going to lead to viable children? Yeah. What about those? If you knew going in, you can get married to these people, you would make a bracha on that? But etzem, really what the Rosh is saying, by the way, is there is no mitzvah of Kiddushin. If there was, he wouldn't have this question. He's saying the mitzvah is, if there is a mitzvah at all, Periya V'rivya. But you don't need to do Kiddushin in order to get the Periya V'rivya. So you wouldn't need to make a bracha, Birchat HaMitzvah, for this. There's no mitzvah.
So you said before something general about being Jewish.
So here, so look what he says. Ach benose isha l'shem Periya V'rivya, kevan she'efshar l'kayem mitzvah Periya V'rivya b'lo Kiddushin, ולא דמי לשחיטה שאינו מחויב לשחוט ולאכול, ואפילו אחי כשהוא שחט, לאכול מברך דהתם אי אפשר לו לאכול בלא שחיטה. אבל הכה, אפשר לקיים פרי וריבה בלא קידושין. You can do פרי וריבה בלא קידושין. Yeah. וגם, you'll see why. There's not only this. וגם, אתם אף כקרא בלשן ציווי, דכתיב זבחת ואכלת, אבל הכה כסיב כי ייקח איש, ועוד, he says, because, by the way, by Shechita, there's a Lashon Tzivoy, right? It says, V'zavachta, V'achalta. But what does it say by marriage? It says, Ki yikach ish isha. There's no imperative there. It says, if you do it. Ve'od, the bekachim e'em sher b'lo shchita. He'll come k'mvarchan al kol shchita. And also, by the way, sometimes you have to do a shchita because you need to eat the meat, right? If it's kachim. U'bracha zu nitkana latet shevach l'akadosh baruch hu. It's a birchat ha? Shevach. It's a birchat ha shevach l'akadosh baruch hu. What's the shevach for? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'evdilanu min ha'amim. V'tzivanu l'kadesh isha muteret lanu v'lo achat min ha'arayos. Because he gave us all the arayos and he told us that when you want to get married, you do it only in the permitted way. V'hizkiru vo iser arusos v'hiter nesuos b'chupa v'kiddushin. Shelo yit'eh adam lomar shehabracha shel ha'kiddushin nitkena l'hatira lo l'kach hizkiru chupa. Lomar d'davka b'rachat chupa hiya materet ha'kala. So he says, first of all, the bracha itself, the essence of the bracha is Birchat HaShevach, that we're thanking Hashem for giving us the institution of marriage and the guidelines and frameworks for separating ourselves from the more lax version of the same institution in the rest of the nations, that we have the concept of Arayos even more than they do. And so we thank Hashem for giving us a way to do it in a mutter way. Second of all, the question that he asked about chuppah, right? The question that he asked, why do we mention chuppah if it's not happening for a long time, or at least it's not happening right now? He says, that's actually to forestall somebody from thinking that what makes it mutter to be with this woman is the bracha. Because it's not. What makes it mutter to be with the woman? Chuppah. Like we said in the Rashi before, the Mishnah and Kala, that says that in order to be mutter to be with the woman, What makes it mutter to be with a woman in chuppah is the other bracha that we're going to make. Okay? The other brachos that we're going to make, the shavar brachos, that's what makes chuppah mutter. That's what I meant to say. Shabracha shal kiddushin nitkana lahatira lo, lekach hizkira chuppah, lomar dedafka birchat chuppah hiya matera takala. What's birchat chuppah? That's the shavar brachos. Now he's just explaining the words. So he says, the beginning of the bracha, all this fluffy stuff about that's a bracha tashevach. The ending of Aydei Chupa v'kiddushin, that's just to make sure you understand that this is not what makes it mutter to be b'chupa. Later on we're going to make more brachot, that's what's going to be matir.
Is there any mention here who has to say which brachas? Like this brachas, son and so.
No, in general, it's never the chassan because he might mess it up. It's somebody else.
Right.
But he's making it on behalf of the chassan.
And there has to be a kinyan khalifin between the. Oh, that's only for the. That's for the ksuba, nothing to do with that.
Anybody
can make that bracha. It doesn't have to be a rabbi. Yeah. It could even be the chassan himself.
It could be, yeah.
And if you don't have a minyan.
No, this is Berchas Erusin.
Are you saying that...
Berchas Erusin, you don't need a minion.
Right, but you're saying for them to be together and have chuppah,
right.
You have to have a minion.
A minion of Shomrei Shabbos? Is there an inyan here? If not, then she's not allowed to him? It's Mavata the Brachas? Or not? It's just...
It seems like it, yeah. I never thought about it.
It would be Mavata the Brachas?
If what?
With the kind of people?
I'm not sure that it has to be Shomrei Shabbos.
If you had a nachman, if there wasn't a minion in a town, there were two aidim, say.
Right. So then they're for sure that we could have Kedushin.
The issue of the Sheva Brachas was.
Certainly, B'diavad. The Diavad, they could be married, for sure. Yeah. Chuppah would be chal, right? But, yeah, I guess l'chatchila they would need 10 people to have the chuppah.
One of the reasons is so that it would be publicized, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Okay, that's the rush. So the rush, just to be clear, the rush says it's not a berachat mitzvah for the very simple reason that there's no mitzvah. There's no chiyuv, at least. There's no chiyuv mitzvah or even kiyum mitzvah over here. There's a structure here, right? Would you ever make a bracha on giving a get? You don't. You don't make a bracha on giving a get. Why? Because you don't have to give a get, right?
There's a mitzvah to do.
There's a way to do it. and we call that a mitzvah. There's a structure to
Gerushin,
do it.
One of, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Gerushin is one of the 613 mitzvahs.
Of course it's one of the 613 mitzvahs, but what that means is there's a way to do Gerushin, but you don't have to do Gerushin. You don't make a bracha like you make a bracha when you do Netilas Lulav. Right? So the same way, you don't make a bracha on Gerushin. Who disagrees? Who's on the other side of the spectrum? We're going to see the entire other side of the spectrum is the Rambam. How do I know the Rambam is on the other side of the spectrum? Well, first of all, take a look at his Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos, he has two mitzvahs, Reshit Beis and Reshit Gimel. Reshit Beis is, a mitzvah Reshit Beis, he should sivanu lifrot filirbot. There's a mitzvah to have children. Reshit Gimel is, you guessed it, Shatzivanu livo bekidushin, v'late davar b'yad ha'isha o b'shtar o b'biya, v'zoi mitzvah kidushin, v'aremez alav amru ki yikach ish isha u'bala. There is a mitzvah of kidushin. Unless you say, oh well, there's also a mitzvah of gerushin, so keep going. In Hilchos Ishos, the Rambam tells us about the difference between Jewish marriage and non-Jewish marriage. Kodemat in Torah haya adam pogeh isha bashuk. And he banged her on the head. Imratza hu v'hi lisa ota machnisa leveto u'ba'ala b'ino levein atzmo v'tiyalo le'isha. Before the Torah was given, so how did marriage happen? He went to a club, found a girl that he liked, took her home, and they were married. Kevin shenas na Torah nista v'yisrael shem yirtza ha'ish lisa isha, yikne ota tchila b'fnei edim b'achar kach tiyalo le'isha, shenem ar ki kach ish isha u'va'ala v'ayla. After the Torah was given, we don't do it that way. He wants to marry a woman. He has to acquire her through the Kinyane Kiddushin in front of Edim. And that's how you do it. V'likuchan elu, mitzvahs ase shel Torahem. U'bechan mishlosh advarim eishan niknes, and etc. This is a mitzvahs ase min ha-Torah. And Viter in the Rambam's Hilchos Ishus, kol ha-makadesh isha bein ha-idei atzmo, bein ha-idei shaliach, tzarich levarech kodem ha-kiddushin hu, o shlucho v'achar kach makadesh, Kederech Shemavarchin Kodem Kol Mitzvos.
Where do we learn it from?
Learn what?
That there's a mitzvah of Kiddushin besides the Rambam says it.
Ki kach ish isha. Ki kach ish isha. Uvala. That's a mitzvah. Vim ki deish lo birech lo yivarech achar Kiddushin shizu brach lo
vatala. Why doesn't the Rosh learn that there's the mitzvah?
He said why he doesn't think it's a mitzvah.
Because it says ki
yikach. Because it's not imperative. Yeah, it's not imperative. So, the Rambam is on the entire other end of the spectrum. He thinks it's mamish, a birchas ha-mitzvah.
The Rosh thinks it's like, if you fancy taking a wife, then you can. And then it's a mitzvah.
This is how you do it. Just like, if you want to get divorced, this is how you do it. So the Rambam, though, says it's mamish, a birchas ha-mitzvah. And then all the questions that we had before come back into play, but at least the Rambam says it's mamish, a birchas ha-mitzvah, completely on the other end of the spectrum from the Rosh. A little more weiter. The Ramban is a third shita. The Ramban wonders the same things as the Rush. He says, "Yesh lishol heichan matzino bracha kagonzu." Where have we ever seen a bracha like this? Shemavarchan al masha asar lanu Hashem yitbarach. V'aloi ina damavarich shasar lanu ever minachay v'hitir lanu et hashachut. We never say such a thing. Vod ma'in en arayus lakan. Vod shachshav ina niteret lo v'lama yivarech. He says, "What is going on over here?" It's not a bracha samitzvah. Kevan shechupa v'kiddushin eina nasin bevat achad v'chatzia mitzvah nasis v'kiddushin hutzrach levarich aleim mikadesh Yisrael shekola mitzvahs mevarich aleim over lasiyasan v'ilu haisa achupa nasis achshav hayim mevarchan asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu al ha-kiddushin v'achupa kemosha mevarchan al ha-shchita. So the Ramban is going to say basically that it is a birchas ha-mitzvah, but the problem is that the mitzvah is the whole shebang, kiddushin and nisuin. That's the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah of only kiddushin.
The Rambam says you can just choose one.
How do you make a bracha on something that's a year apart?
Exactly. So that's exactly what the Ramban says. So exactly what the Ramban says. He says the problem is that kol mitzvah mevarech aleihem over lasi asan. V'ilu haisa chupa nasis achshav hayim mevarech asher kiddushanu mitzvosav v'tzivanu al kiddushin v'achupa kemo shemevarech al shchita, like we normally do. Then you make the whole thing as one. V'achshav lo yuchol mevarech asher kiddushanu al kiddushin v'achupa sharei ein chupa nasis achshav. We're not doing it now. So, v'lo yichun lo ma'asher kedushanu al kiddushin, shalom atzinu sheivarech adam al mitzvah she'en asiya zugmar melachta. You can't just say al kiddushin because that's only half the mitzvah. So what do you do? L'ficha chutzuchu levarech asher kedushanu al ha'arayos, v'itir lanu asuros ha'acheros, she'kiddushin tovsin behem, v'hodiyu she'en asuros, Ela al yidei chupa v'kedushin. Shenimsa kamisha mevarech al kedusha son shel Yisrael. V'damya l'kedusha. Kedisa v'gemara shemevarech anasher b'char b'Yisrael v'kitcham b'kedusha Shabbos. V'lo alisa Shabbos. Avzu al shabachar b'Yisrael shekitcham b'asur lehen umbemutar lehen. He says that there is a mitzvah over here, but since we can't really make a berachas hamitzvah over here because we can't cover the whole mitzvah because you're not doing the whole mitzvah over here. So that's why they changed the bracha, so that it's not really functioning completely as a berachas hamitzvah, I think. But he does agree with the Rambam that there is a mitzvah of kedushin and nisuin, not like the Rush. It's just that this can't be a regular berachas hamitzvah because you don't have the whole mitzvah over here.
But then rather, so you can't add in the parts that will happen in a year's time, so you're adding these other parts.
You make it more prosaic, you make it more like descriptive, rather than a classic birchas hamitzvah.
Is there a parallel that can be drawn with the chasing away the mother bird to take the nectar? So that's the only other thing that comes to mind, where you're making some part usher to permit another part. I don't know what the broch you make, and also whether you're, so it's something you're required to do. But
interesting question.
On making this asher and permitting this, but I don't know.
No, I understand what you're saying. It's an interesting parallel. I don't know. All of the things that you mentioned are all questions. Just the last and fourth shita of the Mordechai. You turn the page over. The Mordechai says, "Umashein bevarchan asherke d'shanu mitzvah tivana l'kadesh aisha." Why don't we just say that is a berachas mitzvah? He says, "Mishum dein asiyata gemar mitzvah kedisa beperikat cheles, the shema habi bracha levatala, the shema lo yizkul hi banot yachad." So the Mordechai kind of straddles the line. Did you guys catch what he did over there? He started off sounding like the Ramban, saying we can't make a birkas mitzvah over here because you're not doing the whole mitzvah. And if you stop there, you would say, "Oh, that's like the Ramban, because the whole mitzvah is kiddushin and nisuin." But look how he ended. He ended with the Shema Avi Bracha Livatala, the Shema Lo Yisku Libanot Yachad. What does that mean?
Is that referring to the Bris Olam, or that's referring to?
So the way that I understood it, at least, and I seem that this is where Lichtenstein said what it means, is he's talking about building a bias of family, namely having children. Children, right? So he's straddling the line.
Be a bracha levatala.
Exactly. He's saying the real mitzvah is Peri Verivya. But Kiddushin does go into that. So you could theoretically make a bracha on the Kiddushin.
Turn your phone over.
And it would work on the Peri Verivya. It's just that you don't know if the Peri Verivya is going to happen. So you can't make it as a bracha mitzvah. So he says, there is a mitzvah of Kiddushin, but it really is tied up with Peri Verivya. Unlike the Rush, who just says that there is no mitzvah of Kiddushin. But he's saying that the mitzvah of Kiddushin is basically identical with the mitzvah of Peri Verivya, but you can't make a bracha because you don't know if it's going to actually come into fruition, so to speak. So you have these four shitos, basically. You have one shita of the Rush, who's all the way on one side of the spectrum, who says there's not a berachas mitzvah, and it can't be because
you can marry a
there's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah happening here. Then you have all the way on the other side of the spectrum of the Rambam, who says it absolutely is a berachas mitzvah, mm-hmm. because there is a mitzvah to be mekadesh and isha. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Ramban, who says there is a mitzvah to be mekadesh and isha, but it's only half of the mitzvah, which is to have kiddushin and nisuin. And then you have the Mordechai, who is a little bit closer to the Rush, who says there is a mitzvah of kiddushin, but it's not an independent mitzvah of just getting married. It's a mitzvah of leading to kids. And it's all part of one mitzvah, but you can't make a bracha on it because you don't know if you're going to end up having kids or not. Okay?
Maybe after you've had your kids, then you can make this bracha.
Then it's not going to be over asiyasim. That's the problem. Well, yeah, let's skip over what it says in the Shulchan Aruch because it's not really going to change much. And it doesn't... there are really not many nafkaminas for this. The only really theoretical nafkamina is what happens if you miss the bracha. So the Rambam says you don't say it again. Which makes a lot of sense because
Rambam.
The Rambam says explicitly that you don't make the bracha again because you already finished, right? You already did the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Rush says that you do make it again, which makes also sense because it's still shevach. You could still say thank you to Hashem for allowing you to have this.
In fact, you can do it five times the same day according to the Rush.
No, the brachas chasarim. Why five times? You're saying the shevach brachos. No, that's a different bracha. Now we get the Shabbat brachos. Now we get the Berachas Chasanim, okay? Which is more interesting halachically. Ready? So Birchas Chasan and Birchas Nisuin. Here, take a look at Tosos on the bottom of the first side of the page. The last Tosos on the page. Very short, but very important. The beginning of the Gemara. Yeah, Zayin Amud Beis. Zayin Amud Beis, the bottom. Yeah? V'hu Shabau? V'hu Shabau Panim Chadashos. Omeri, Rav Yitzchak says as follows. De Panim Chadashos, Ein Kora, Ela, B'vnei Adam, Shemarbim Bishvilam, Hasimcha Yoter. It only is called Panim Chadashos if the Panim Chadashos, the new people, are people that are Marbim Bishvilam Hasimcha Yoter. What does that mean?
It's the mother-in-law.
Someone is going to increase the level of Simcha if they come.
For whom?
For the
Chatan and the Kala. Which means, what are we excluding here? Anybody who
has already been there
doesn't go, right? Anybody who's been there already, because
that,
they already have
that. The link is not clear.
Okay, but anybody who's not going
to
increase
the Shiva came to the wedding and then he came to the last Shiva box, well, it's not going to be really happy again.
Fair point, but I guess we need an objective standard. But what it would exclude is somebody who just wandered in off the street.
Just grab the guy, yeah.
Which often happens at Shabbat.
But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't work. At least according to this Tosos.
Like this guy comes in.
As we're going to see that this is not the only option. But according to this Tosos, it shouldn't work. What?
Well,
in Achinami, 100%. 100%.
Even
we're going to see even more than that, Michael.
Somebody
even more.
Was invited to the wedding is going.
Yeah.
The start thing. It's all a bit backwards.
But if you can't make the brachot without this person, then even the guy off the street.
No, that's like sikreisha benoch the lo nichale and Shabbos. No, I don't want the light in the fridge to go on, so it's not nichale. No, it doesn't work like that. But look at this part of the Tosfos. V'Shabbos dechashvinam panim chadashos. Damrina bagada mizmor l'shir liyom haShabbos. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu panim chadashos ba'u lakan. No mar shira. On Shabbos, you don't need someone new. Because Shabbos itself is Mar B'Simcha.
That's
what Tosfos says. Tosfos says two things. He says, number one, in order to have Panim Chadashos, real Panim Chadashos, it has to be somebody who's Mar Bim Shalom Bishvilam for the Chasan and the Kala. Second of all, on Shabbos, you don't even need anybody new because Shabbos itself is Marbim Shalom. How is Shabbos Marbim Shalom? Lekavod Shabbos, because people are Marbim Lekavod HaShabbos B'Simcha U'B'Seuda. Because people prepare, people celebrate on Shabbos, and they make bigger meals on Shabbos. And so there's more Simcha by definition on Shabbos.
Someone who wasn't at the wedding, or someone who hasn't been at the wedding or the previous Shiva Brachot?
Good question. It appears that there is a machlokas Rishonim, but I think the mainstream opinion is that they cannot have been at any of the previous Shiva Brachos, but they might have been at the wedding. Might have been at the chuppah. If they had been at the chuppah, let's say.
Hasn't been at the simcha previously, but you would really love to see.
Right. It could be that weddings used to be a bit smaller than they are now. But that's only one side of the coin. Take a look at the other side of the coin. Pick up the sheet on the second side of the page in Beis. Rambam. What does the Rambam say? On this. In the Beis. Bracha zu shemosifim beis chasanim, he bracha achrona mishava bracha shel nisuin. That's at beis chasanim. That's at the bracha. That's the bracha that you make at the wedding itself. But medrash marim kshayu ochlim hem shamdu shebirchas nisuin v'shamu abrachos avalim hayu ochlin acherim shelo shamu birchas nisuin b'shas nisuin mevarchin b'shvilam achar birkat mazon sheva brachos kederach shemavarchin b'shas nisuin.
Interesting, it's not the same way.
Does he mention anything that Tosos mentioned? No. Nothing. He doesn't mention anything that Tosos mentioned.
It's not the same
and way. Go ahead to the Hilchos Brachos. This is where he actually talks about Shavu Brachos. ובייס חסנים מברכן ברכס חסנים מאחר ארבע ברכוס אלו בכל סעודה וסעודה שאוכלים שם, ואין מברכן ברכס זו לא עבדים ולא קטנים, they don't make the ברכה, עד כאן מברכן ברכה זו, אם היה אלמון שנעשה אלמנה מברכן עושה, skip to יוד actually, ברכה זו שמוסיפה בבייס חסנים, היא ברכה אחרונה משבע ברכה של נישואין. Oh, I made a mistake. I copied the wrong thing. Okay, we're going to have to live. But the point over here will be that the Rambam, doesn't mention any of the details that Tosfos mentions. And if you look, when he says Bishvilam, does it seem like the same Bishvilam as Tosfos's? Aval im hayu ha'ochlim acherim shelo shamu birkat nisuin bishat nisuin mevarchin bishvilam achar birkat hamazon sheva brachos. It looks like the Bishvilam over here is not the Chasen and the Kala, but rather the Panim Chadashos. Okay? What you end up having over here, somebody want to say it instead of me? What are Tosfos and the Rambam arguing about? Or it seems that there would be a big difference between the Rambam and the and Tosfos over here? No, everybody agrees you need Panim Chadashos. But, well, no, everybody agrees you need Panim Chadashos.
But if they've been at the wedding,
everybody heard the
who the then made Kapya?
Who
is the one being made Kapya?
Who is the bracha for?
The people who want the...
According to Tosfos, for whom is the bracha? For the Chasen Lekala. And therefore, what purpose did the Panim Chadashos serve?
To
increase the Simcha for the Chasen Lekala. But the bracha is being made in the sviva of the chasen and the kala. It's about the happiness of the chasen and the kala. For the Rambam, the bracha is being made for whom? Panim Chadashos. What purpose do the Panim Chadashos serve? They say the bracha, right? The bracha is for them. They don't necessarily have to say the bracha, but the bracha is being made for their behalf. The Rambam didn't say anything about Shabbos.
You're assuming that you do need them on Shabbat
according to the Rambam? Absolutely. He didn't say anything. You would think he would mention such a thing. If the Rambam really felt that Shabbos was good enough to be able to say Panim to be able to say Brachas Chasanim, Sheva Brachas, he would mention it. Tosfos had to mention it, and you guys are all, you know, your jaws dropped when you saw it.
So coming to Simon's question, if you have the presence of the Rosh Hashiva, who's been at the wedding and every other day, but it certainly increases Simcha, would they differ on that? Or
again, I think there has to be an objective standard. I hear what you're saying. You're saying that according to Tosfos, if it's increasing the happiness...
It seems like it's two completely separate things.
I think you have to have an objective standard. The objective standard is somebody new. They have to have somebody
but
new.
But they don't seem to have any forgiveness. You don't need it for Shabbos.
And I'll say why. And I'll tell you why. Because you'd have the same simcha. You'd have the same simcha at the wedding and on the Tuesday, if it was just the Rosh Hashiva. Because you were happy at the wedding and you were happy on Tuesday.
It's not a new simcha.
Yeah, marbim b'simcha.
Marbim is not simcha chadasha. It's marbim b'simcha.
Marbim increasing.
What's the wrong tradition? Why would you say that for the
Panim Chadashos? The Panim Chadashos is the one saying the bracha.
Why? Is that because if anyone else would be bracha lematola maybe?
Okay, so I have a suggestion. I guess we could say it now. This is homiletically. I mean, this is not, you know, this doesn't have to be integrated into the halakha, but there's a basis for this. There's a big difference, according to Tosfos and according to the Rambam, about the essence and the meaning of the Sheva Brachos, right? And there has to be. Namely, for Tosfos, the bracha is being made on behalf of, or for the sake of, the Chasen and the Kala. And everybody else there. What message, what's the purpose of that bracha, and what message is being conveyed? So maybe, I heard this, maybe that what's being conveyed is, because for Tosfos it really is something new that's happening to the Chasen and the Kala, maybe the message is that it's important to constantly be growing, and also to constantly be experiencing new things. That in marriage, if you're never experiencing new things, so then it tends to stagnate. It's not good. Chasen and Kala, it's important just as a, you know, psychologically for their relationship. It's important to experience new things all the time. And they should be introducing each other to new things and to experience them. And that's what we try to convey to them by having 7 days of, you know, a new thing every single day. You carry this with you for the rest of your marriage. What about for the Rambam? It's a very interesting thing for the Rambam. For the Rambam, it's not about the Chasan and the Kala at all. Right? It's very interesting. The Rambam, this isn't the Chasan and the Kala's party. Whose party is it? It's the Panim Chadash's party. That's interesting. Why is that integrated into the wedding and marriage process and flow? What do you think? Why would it be integrated into that? Why would that be an important element in this process? Because it is. It's part. I mean, it only applies to the wedding. It's 7 days after the wedding. Apparently, we throw parties for Panim Chadashos. Why?
Panim Chadashos are couples who have been here for a long time, and they could also do with experiencing something new and going back to
close to what I heard.
You mean Priya?
No,
I wasn't as like that. But Duffy, you're not worried about the Chas and Kala having this union of experiencing something new because they're only just.
But it seems a strange time to pressure the Chas and Kala with entertaining or providing the service for the
Panim Chadashos. No, but they're just being themselves, just like being.
But that's exactly it. That's exactly it.
So you don't leave them by themselves.
What exactly?
You didn't pick up on what Val said.
You bring people into their lives?
They're spreading the simcha. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're spreading the simcha. They're taking this gift that was given to them, and they're not just keeping it to themselves. Every day, they find new people to spread it to. This fits very well with the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Yom Tov, right? The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Yom Tov says, Simchas Yom Tov, people think Simchas Yom Tov is just eating and drinking, right? Anybody who just does eating and drinking on Simchas Yom Tov by themselves with just their inner family, right, is not fulfilling Simchas Yom Tov. The real Simchas Yom Tov is to have poor people and friends and people of need coming into your house. Because if you're just eating and drinking, that's not Simchas Yom Tov, that's Simchas Kreso. That's just feeding your stomach. So it fits perfectly with the Rambam, who believes that the essence of Simcha in the Torah is to be spreading it. So it makes perfect sense that the Panim Chadoshos are required because that's what this couple is supposed to be doing.
And not to the detriment, just to be clear, because maybe I'm correcting myself here. It's not to the detriment of the Chas and Kala that they shouldn't have, but it's given that they have gotten in abundance. It's an important message to them and everyone else that they are.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Shavuot Brachos is not easy. It's not the funnest. It was not the fun part, at least for me. It wasn't fun. you don't have your own schedule, you know. You have to go to places where.
Yeah.
You have no control over how long you're there.
I'm so tired.
No, with direct family, it was fine. It was, you know, when you go to the cousins and whatever, you don't even know these people, right? And you don't feel like being on.
When you tired?
I was very tired. You have to drive out to, drive out to all corners. What? Alibi, they would listen to me. Sure, I love these cousins, but I didn't know them then. I didn't know any of them, right? And my wife's cousins, let's say, right? I didn't know any of them.
It's getting worse.
What did they feed you? That
That's the other thing, right? You don't know what food you're going to get over there.
Every night, meat.
No, the best is when you actually went to a restaurant, because then at least.
But there still seems like a big gap in terms of the hue and the broth and everything else. If it's so important, you could say the wedding achieves that. They should invite people they don't know to the wedding.
Well, that's the problem.
They could only invite so many people to the wedding, I guess.
Yeah,
we're your cowboy.
But let's take a look at some interesting halachic nafka minas. So first of all, let's see how it's codified in Shulchan Aruch. Number one, bracha zusha mosifim bebeis chasanim. Hi bracha achrona bishavu bracha shehi bracha asher bara. Okay, v'yesh omrim, da'af asher bara ein bevarech kol shiva elek shemzamdim achirim. Okay, let's skip past this part. V'med var mamurim. When do we only do the last brachos? When these when everybody who was there who was at, were at the chuppah. If people came to the meal, right? We do the opposite now. We invite people to the chuppah and not to the meal. But what happens if we did the opposite? What if we didn't invite them to the chuppah and instead we invited them only to the meal? Then you could do all Shavuot Brachos. Shalom shamu berachas nisuin b'shalas nisuin. Mevarchem b'shvilam achar berachas hamazon Shavuot Brachos. Kederach shemevarchem b'shalas nisuin. V'ushiyu asara b'chasim min haminyan. V'yesh omrim shafilu hayu b'shalas hachuppah b'shamu habrachos. Im lo achlu shamarata mikri panim chadashos. Mevarchem b'shvilam Shavuot Brachos. Achar birchas hamazon v'chein pashat haminhag. Okay, so this is what I was saying before, that you could pull off having shever brachos both at the wedding and later on, even with people who had been at the chuppah, according to the Ziyesh Omer. And look at the Ramah. V'yesh Omer v'dim ayu sham panim chadashos af v'shein ochlin sham mevarach b'shvilam laila v'yom. This is just the Ramah saying that. Let's say, and this is an interesting thing, let's say you spent time with people the night before, and then the next day you have a meal. Okay? In other words, the chassan and kala spent time with their cousins from out of town who could only come in during the night, and there was no meal. Right? There was no meal. They just came in to visit, and then they had to fly out. Right? They were on a cruise, and they came in for one night. And then they had to leave. And the next day there's a meal. And there's no panim chadashos at the meal. So the Ramah suggests that according to one opinion, you could make the brachos.
Because you
met them last night. Who does this fit better with? The Ramah or Tosfos?
Tosfos.
Why do you say Tosfos?
Because it's for the benefit of the chatan and kala, they had more simcha.
Uh-huh. And why not the Rambam?
Because they're not there.
Because the Panim Chadash is not there, right? How could you make the bracha not even in their presence if they're the ones for whom the bracha is being made, right? So this is clearly going according to Tosfos.
Let's come back a step. We do the first Shiva bracha as part of the Nisuin. Then we do in our time Shiva brachot at the meal after the chuppah.
Right.
Do you need to be Panim Chadashot at that meal?
So this is the Yesh Omrim over here. The Yesh Omrim says that even if they were there at Shat HaChuppah, Im lo achlu sham arata mikri panim chadashos umavarchem bishvilam shavu brachos achar
birchas. Why is Yeshua such a common minhag? We do that.
I mean, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Yeshua. Yeshua,
that people don't make
the chuppah
come to a lot of people.
Oh yeah. Now, but take a look at the Yeshua Omrim over here of Ches. She'enam nikraim panim chadashos ela im kein hem bnei adam shemarbim b'shvilam. This is Tosfos that he's quoting. V'yesh arvim the Shabbos yom dov rishon v'she'eni avi panim chadashos besudas halayla b'shachris, aval lo besudah shlishit. V'chein pashat haminag. The Shulchan Aruch says that this idea that Tosfos mentioned, that he's codifying, that Shabbos will allow you to make Shabbos brachos even without panim chadashos, only applies to the nighttime meal and the daytime meal, but not to Shalosh Shudas. Why?
The whole Shiva Brachot or the absence of the Panim Chadashos?
Being able to do without Panim Chadashos. Right? Why not Shalosh Shudas? So, this is what might have thrown you before. Look back at the Tosfos. We kind of, when we first read this Tosfos, we're so enamored with it, right? That we think he's talking on like some kind of quasi-mystical level, right? That, you know, Shabbos is the Panim Chadashos, right? But if you look at the end of the Tosfos, he even says, Hatam Nami Marbin Lekavod HaShabbos B'Simcha U'B'Se'uda. He says, we increase, he says that the Simcha is increased by Simcha and Se'uda. Who increases the Simcha on Shabbos? We do, by having a big Se'uda. Anybody who's been at a Shiftei Shal Shudas knows that there is no Simcha at Shal Shudas, right? There's no Marbin Se'uda at Shal Shudas. There's no, like, you know, you could have a lavish Friday night meal, you could have a big chulent at Shabbos afternoon. But you know, when you get to Shal Shudas, you're going to have leftovers from the Kiddush and chips.
But that's subjective, because you could make it a lavish.
So look at the Ramah. The achshav nagu b'medinos elu levar achshav abrachas b'seuda gimel b'seuda sheishis. We do. The Rama says we do. We Ashkenazim. V'efshar mishum deragilim lavo panim chadoshos. Maybe we cheat. Maybe we bring panim chadoshos. V'yesh omrim mitam deragilim lidrosh v'adrasha v'kapanim chadoshos. It's an interesting thing. The Rama suggests, you know, this is maybe the makor for the idea of, you know, people using divrei Torah instead of shalashos, but this is the opposite. He says maybe because you give a drasha, you give a divrei Torah at Shalashudas, and you can make it into Panim Chadashos. So obviously, the Rama would also be in line, would be on board if you made a big meal for Shalashudas, then it would work also. But it is a big chiddush that the Rama mentions.
Thing.
What?
It's not a mystical thing.
No.
So if you made, but on that basis, if you made a seal on Wednesday,
right,
you shouldn't need Panim Chadashos.
No, the poskim say it only applies on Shabbos. They say Chas v'Shalom you can do it on Shabbos.
I understand it, but it just it seems.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's not a mystical, if it seems like a disconnect.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, but I do know that the poskim say that it only applies on Shabbos. It doesn't apply on any other days. You can't use this chiddush on any other day.
Shabbos?
It could be because the Rama was just giving an explanation for the already established minhag. The Rama was giving only an explanation for the existing minhag. That's my assumption. You can look at the Aruch HaShulchan though, who gives this explanation. He says, "V'lachein yesh lomar she'enim nikarim panim chadashos, elim ken hem bnei adam chashuvim shemarbim mishvilam ma'achal u'mishta." He even takes another step. He says, "It's not enough that the people be special. It has to be that they're special, and therefore, you increase the amount of food for them. That's really the simcha ultimately is really just the food, right?" So, but he says, even if you don't actually increase the food, but it's ra'oi to increase the food for them, then they're panim chadashos. In other words, the Aruch HaShulchan goes against what we thought before, that, oh, you know, it's this cousin that you get to rarely see. But really, no, it's somebody important that's showing up. So it would be the Rosh Yeshiva who shows up, who wasn't at the wedding, right? And therefore you're going to make more food for him. But for the Rambam, we don't care. The Rambam, it doesn't matter who they are. Right, that was one of the nafkaminas. For the Rambam, you could take a person off the street and you do panim chad and you do a shavar brachos. Why? Because he's enjoying it. Because he's the one who's enjoying this nice meal that you arranged for him. What are some other nafkaminas? What can you think of some other nafkaminas between the Rambam and the Tosos? What about a katan? How would that work? What do you think?
It would be okay for Tosso.
Why?
Because the Katan, for sure, enjoys increase the joy of the Katan.
Yeah, it's a young cousin or something like that.
But he wouldn't be able to perform the mitzvah of the Rav
Amishai. He wouldn't, exactly. He's not part of the minyan, he's not, right, he's not... He wouldn't make the bracha. Good, that's another... I don't think there's a nafkamina here, but there is some question how many you need.
So women,
the poskim say, I don't really understand this. The poskim say, I don't really understand this, that a woman cannot be a panim chadashos. I have no idea why. It's not clear. Yeah, because they can't, but then you can say the same about the katas. It's not clear who's making these distinctions. But
it's two men?
So I think we assume one man. We assume one man. We assume one man. We assume one man. What? Either that, or it's just a figure of speech, yeah. We generally assume one, but there are opinions that say you need two. What else is there?
Could an Avil who wasn't at the... Maybe was at the...
An Avil, that's what he said?
Yeah.
It would seem that he can't because he's not supposed to be there. He's not even supposed to be there.
You don't need him on Shabbos.
All right, Shkoyach, guys.